This is Tuesday, April 21st, 2015. Everyone is talking about the 6.2 PTR, the co-hosts of the Cast Bar podcast visit this week, and a long-running WoW podcast records its final show tonight. This is Realm Maintenance number 141.
When the servers go down, we'll tell you what's up. You're listening to Realm Maintenance.
Ladies and gentlemen, guardians of the forums, podcasters and podcastees, welcome to Realm Maintenance. I'm Ro, and thanks as always for listening. Let's get the show rolling with what can only be a farewell to a friend. Here is the rolling restart. Now, you know, I couldn't leave you hanging with which WoW podcast was recording its final show after all. There's plenty of WoW stuff that I could talk about with 6.2 being on the PTR, and, you know, you'll probably catch some of that on Extended Maintenance as well as plenty of other WoW podcasts this week. Today, though, I'm talking about the self-proclaimed dark horse of WoW podcasting. After 125 episodes, the host of the Sheep Moon podcast has decided to close up shop and move on. The final episode records tonight at 7 p.m. Eastern Time, and if you're listening to this before then, you can catch that twitch.tv/revelcastmedia. Now, this might come as a surprise to some of you, especially considering the recent conclusion of the third WoW Podcaster Tournament of Epicness, but the tournament wasn't the reason why D decided to end things, and I don't feel there was any podcaster drama or anything like that. I know D fairly well. I've talked to him on Skype a few times, and, you know, we've talked about many a thing, including the state of his show, other shows, and whatnot, and honestly, I kind of saw this coming. It takes a lot to know when it's time to just bring things to an end. And I really respect D for deciding that, you know, it's been a good run, but it's time to move on. Solo podcasting takes a lot of work and preparation to do well, and a lot of time. And D's real life stuff just got to a point where he couldn't dedicate nearly as much time as he used to when it comes to Sheep Moon. Now, from what I understand, he's still going to be involved in WoW Uncensored. That podcast doesn't take anywhere near the kind of preparation that Sheep Moon did, considering it's just three guys shooting the breeze and talking about WoW and cursing every other word. But in my opinion, Sheep Moon has been one of the best solo WoW shows in the history of the game. I mean, it was a spiritual successor to what Total Biscuit did with Blue Please. D talked about WoW, he gave his opinions, and if you agreed or not, well, that's your choice. He did the show because he had a passion for WoW, and he had a passion for getting his word out there. It sounded like a well-produced show. Even on the nights when he had little to prepare for. He was very opinionated, he could talk at length about issues without being bored of it, and he had creative segments, he had entertaining audio bits, thanks to what he did and what those who were, you know, dedicated to his show also contributed. He interacted with the chat room during the live recording of his shows. He included the chat room in his social experiment every week. And while some weeks may have had more listeners than others, and some only had a couple or so back in the earlier times, D just kept on doing it because he loved doing what he did. Not many listen to or download Sheep Moon. I know it, D knows it, quite a few others know it. And Sheep Moon is and will likely forever be remembered as a small fish in a big sea, as far as that goes. But it just goes to show that a podcast doesn't need to have tens of thousands of listeners to be certified as a quality show. It's all about your own preferences and what you like listening to. And I do wish that others gave Sheep Moon a chance and listened to it and see if it was their kind of show. But that's all in the past. We all have our own tastes, and just because I love Sheep Moon, probably more so than most others, doesn't mean it was necessarily for everyone. Now, like I said, D's continuing on with WoW Uncensored. There's less preparation involved behind that. But Sheep Moon is done. It's not going on hiatus. It won't be back. And like I said, I respect D for knowing when it's time to move on. It's not easy to do, especially if you've done the same thing for years and years. There is a part of you that almost feels like you just have to keep going, that you just have to do things out of the sake of doing things because it's how it's always been done. The Guardian of the Forums is going to be missed by those who were loyal listeners, especially me. And I wish D the best of times in his future endeavors, whether they are online or offline. It was indeed a hell of a run, and in my opinion, there are very few podcasters that I look up to more than D. Unlike last week, there's a fair number of Blizzard things to talk about this time around, and under a minute and a half to do it, so let's go around the world of Warcraft and more in 80 seconds. World of Warcraft content patch 6.2 is now available for testing on the PTR. The key features of the next major content patch include 13 encounters in the Hellfire Citadel raid, max level questing content in Tanan Jungle, mythic difficulty dungeons, the introduction of naval missions, and weekend time walking dungeon events. Heroes of the Storm enters the open beta testing phase on May 19th and officially launches on June 2nd. Before that happens, teams from Cal Berkeley, Boston State, Illinois Urbana-Champaign, and Arizona State will compete in the Heroic Four of the Heroes of the Dorm tournament on April 26th at 2:30 p.m. Pacific Time. You can watch the semifinals on ESPN3. An exploit in Diablo 3 allowed players to gain an unfair advantage by acquiring more blood shards from blood thief mobs than was originally intended. The exploit has been hotfixed, and offending players have experienced rollbacks or bans of their account. The second batch of tickets for BlizzCon 2015 is now sold out. If you weren't able to get tickets in the first or second batches, tickets to an exclusive pre-BlizzCon dinner to benefit Children's Hospital of Orange County will be going on sale tomorrow, April 22nd at 7 p.m. Pacific Time. These tickets cost $750 each and include admission to BlizzCon. And finally, last week brought the arrival of Hearthstone to mobile phone devices. Playing a game of Hearthstone in play, arena, or practice mode on either an iPhone or Android device will get you a free pack of classic Hearthstone cards. And that's your news. The Cast Bar podcast is in the spotlight after this week's advice from Miss Mulgra.
Thrumka, and welcome to Ask Miss Mulgra, your source on matters of etiquette in Azeroth. Today's question is, what happens to all the noble garden eggs that never get found? Although I have never participated in the noble garden festivities, I will not let that stop me from telling you all about them. Apparently, these beautiful noble garden eggs may produce shiny new holiday-themed loot. But let me address the question asker's sneaky trick question. Everyone knows you must sit on a noble garden egg for 1 hour to hatch it. If you sit too long, it disappears and no loot for you. Therefore, there are no leftover eggs. I will warn the mages, however, to watch out for April Fool tricksters. If a mage sits on the wrong noble garden egg, he may be polymorphed into a cute fluffy bunny for his trouble. I am Miss Mulgra, and that is my advice. The Kamagosh! Follow at Miss Mulgra on Twitter, or listen to previous episodes at missmulgra.com. Thanks to Abaton Aberday from Warm Rest Accord for this week's question.
The Cast Bar is a weekly World of Warcraft podcast that is just 20 episodes in. It aims to channel your content with no interrupts. What does that even mean? Perhaps the host of the show can answer that question today, as I'm happy to have Schwan, Evan, and Florian on the show. Welcome to Realm Maintenance. How are you?
I am doing fantastic.
Hey, how man?
Hey there, doing pretty good.
Schwan, could you talk a little bit about how the Cast Bar got started?
Well, I work in a state law office, and so I have a lot of time where I'm not really engaging my ears, and we're allowed to use headphones and stuff, and I listen to a lot of podcasts. And I started to notice things that I disliked about a lot of podcasts. I'm not going to name any of them, but I was like, man, why don't they do this, or why don't they do this? And then I went, why don't I just do this? So, but I didn't have any friends who were like, yeah, I'd totally be down for that. So I legitimately just went, I just need people. So I went onto the World of Warcraft Reddit and went, I want to make a podcast. Who's down? And These are the first two that answered out of three people. The third person just didn't answer me back when I messaged them back. And fortunately, I got two very, very good individuals to do a podcast with.
I love that.
Ended up being Evan and Florian.
I love that because it's pretty rare that a podcast comes together like that. Now, I remember Convert to Raid was basically Pat Crane putting out a call from the thousands of people that were in AIE, and that's a little bit similar, but usually when you see podcasts come together, it's two players that are like in the same small guild or have been playing together for months and years and such like that. So for you guys to just kind of randomly come together and put this thing together, it's kind of a rare thing these days. Florian, what about the name of the show? Why the Cast Bar?
Well, we played around with a bunch of different names, most of them being various WoW-related names that were puns on cast. For some reason, we just really felt like putting cast in the name, which is kind of corny for a podcast.
It's a rule, right? It's one of the rules. You have to have cast in your podcast to be considered a legit podcast.
We eventually came up with the Cast Bar. We all liked it. We thought it sounded good and it felt good, and it's very much built into WoW. It's WoW terminology, so we just kind of ran with it.
There are plenty of podcasts for plenty of different types of players out there, all sorts of different play styles. When it comes to the Cast Bar, who would you say the show is best suited for? Who's going to get the most out of your podcast?
Well, we talked about this when we were trying to conceptualize what kind of podcast we were going to have, and we decided that there wasn't a whole lot of representation. I mean, this is data kind of coming from Michael, who definitely listens to the most podcasts out of all of us. There isn't a whole lot of data that focuses on kind of the average player. A lot of them interview really high-end, you know, raiders, guild leaders, developers, that kind of thing, and really big names that are kind of household among a lot of, you know, games and people who talk about those kind of celebrities. And we wanted to kind of feature the kind of daily, you know, topics that people who just play this game, you know, for fun and for various reasons would be interested in a more down home earthy kind of sense, you know. So I would say that the person that would benefit most from listening to our show is a person who has a good interest in WoW, really likes kind of digging in to the details a little bit, which is featured in our kind of closer look section that we try to dissect a topic every week. And I mean, people who have like kind of a wide breadth of playing. I mean, we are all role players, you know, somewhat. We all like PvE. We aren't the most PvP centric podcast. I know there are a lot of podcasts out there that cater to the PvP aspect of the game. Yeah, so I would think just the kind of person that will log on and plays with their friends, does a couple of dungeon raids a little bit, and maybe does a little bit of roleplay too, would be most at home listening to our show.
Pretty much for kind of the jack-of-all-trades type well-rounded WoW player, you might say.
Yeah, I think the three of us are kind of well-rounded, and we bring a pretty wide wide discussion to all the topics we, you know, talk about.
Now, like I said, you guys do have kind of a meaty podcast, and you do have several segments to your show. So, Schwan, could you kind of go over a little bit of about how the show goes and how its format is?
Well, one of our goals when we created the show was to not just be another news show. We wanted there, because for the last like 3 weeks, there just hasn't been a whole lot of news. So we wanted to focus on trying to set it up so that we could have enough content that was still interesting. So we started trying to think of different segments. So like most podcasts, we open with just catching each other up. You know, what have you been doing this week? How's WoW been going? Awesome. Cool. Moving along. We've all been playing Heroes of the Storm. Sweet. Then we do go over news, but we don't fill the entire show with it. Take a couple of the bigger headlines or some of the smaller headlines that might just not even be something that people would think would be really relevant and give it a little bit more life. And then we go into what we've just dubbed a closer look, in which we do a closer look at something in the game. And just going off of what I normally spiel at the beginning of the segment, it's not normally ever anything that has to do with news. It's just something that we would like as just us to just give a little bit more thought to and a little bit more discussion to, just a little bit more in-depth glance at whatever it is that we're discussing at that time. If we ever get any, then the next segment of the show would be the mailbag. And we love mail so much, but we never get very much. And so it's really depressing. And then after that, we review something. And it's not ever really like, I can't say we just review dungeons. I will admit we do review more five mans than we have anything else, but probably because they're the easiest. But we review something. I think at this point, if you can think of it in Warcraft, we've probably tried it already at our 22 episodes in. Whether it's a dungeon, raid, quest line, we've done a class, a battleground. I think we did a legendary item.
Holiday events.
I don't know, I'd have to go look. We've done a lot.
Now, you guys are 20 episodes in, and you have covered a wide variety of topics, as you've mentioned. You've said that your show is one that aims to channel content with no interrupts. And on the last podcast, I forget which one of you said this, but I believe you said one of your goals was to have the podcast run for an entire year without missing a week. So my question to you guys is, how challenging do you think it's going to be to keep putting out this amount of content each week, especially considering how long you guys run your podcast for?
Right. We kind of settled on 2 hours or so. I think some of our first episodes, up until probably about episode 8 to 10, I would say they were running like 2 20-minute minutes, 2 hours and a half. And we decided that was a little bit too long. We started kind of monitoring our pacing a little bit, and we've got it whittled down to a pretty comfortable 2 hours without really, you know, straining too much. And I think that's been kind of maintainable for where we're all at in our kind of life positions and being able to set aside that scheduling block every week. And we haven't really run into too many difficulties. And when we have, we've been able to be flexible. I think that we've passed the toughest trial, which was the holidays. Over Christmas and New Year's, we managed to stay on course. And yeah, going forward, I don't think it's going to get too much tougher than that.
And congratulations, you survived the drought between 6.1 and 6.2 being up on the PTR, which literally the show notes for, right. Not show notes, the patch notes for 6.2 came up minutes before we started this interview. So you now have content for next week, for no doubt.
That and was probably content weeks to come, which is nice. Podcasts that either, when there's not enough content, they still try and fill their show and it just kind of degenerates into random conversation. I wanted to keep it on topic, so I just tried to figure out ways of that Warcraft could still be on topic and still be entertaining while not having to rely on whatever is currently on the news boards.
Right, and considering that there is a wealth of content going back 10 years and a lot of people who are playing nowadays, many of them may have not been into the instances that were featured in, say, Burning Crusade or Lich King. I know you guys featured the Nexus five-man instance on one of your more recent episodes. So I think that's kind of neat that you guys do that. It's definitely helpful for people who've boosted the character to 90 and have no idea what these other zones are all about because they've never been there.
I enjoy the review section because it causes us to go back and do stuff that I would probably otherwise never go back and do. And that's an enjoyable section. Just it's like, oh, we're going to do this week. Cool. I better go back there and actually see what's going on in the place.
Absolutely. I have a few more questions for you guys before we finish up here. And these are just kind of some fun, random questions, maybe possibly associated with the name of the show. But before we get to that, just to kind of learn a little bit more about each of you, because I think one of the things that makes a podcast is really the personality and what each podcaster loves about the game. I was wondering, Florian, what's the most important thing in World of Warcraft for you?
For me, that would probably be the lore. I know gameplay is important to a lot of people. It is important that the game is fun and remains interesting for people to play on a mechanical level. But for me, the lore is what really brings everything together and really brings the game to life. Because without that, you're just clicking on a bunch of models and just making a bunch of numbers go up higher and higher. It's the lore that brings the whole thing to life, and that's what I get really excited about in the game.
You definitely win points with me. Evan, what about you?
I really like, and I've always liked the gameplay, being able to, especially, man, my favorite time to be a WoW fan and a WoW player is when a new expansion drops, just because of how Blizzard shakes everything up and, you know, serves up a huge new continent on a silver platter for us to all go crazy over. Being able to explore and discover all these new mechanics and try to relearn your whole class and try out crazy new talent specs and all that kind of thing, not to mention new raid tiers and going in with a group of people, even if they're random, but especially with a group of friends and tackling new content for the first time and trying to master that. That's what I really love the most about this game.
How about you, Sean?
I love this game. If I had to put something more specific onto it, I'd probably be standing next to Florian. If it wasn't for the lore, none of us would be playing this game. I think a lot of the game built its strength off of all of the players and lore that was building off of the RTS games. The story is really fantastic, and I don't think Blizzard, even when we didn't really care for the way expansion was going, there's still such a strong story there. But really, the game as a whole, for me, is what makes me stay here. And I include the community in that, because I've played a lot of games, and there's a lot of really, really poor communities out there, and Warcraft is one of the best ones that I've ever got to be a part of.
A couple quick questions. I was trying to think of questions that could relate to the name of the show, The Caspar, and I may fail epically with this, because for all I know, one or two or all three of you may not play casters. But I'm going to try anyhow. Schwan, what is your favorite spell to cast in World of Warcraft?
My favorite spell to cast would probably be mind control, because there's way too many fun things to do with that. My main is a priest. I definitely am a caster.
Yes, one caster.
And mind control is way too much fun. Either that or leap of faith.
Oh, I hate you so much now.
Let's face it. Priests are the rudest players that exist. We live to annoy you. But we keep you alive, so take that.
It's kind of a love-hate relationship there. It's my friend Medicakes loves using Leap of Faith on me at any opportunity.
Of course, it's changed over the past 10 years from time to time, you know. But right now, I think it's probably going to be Army of the Dead. I think you don't have to stand and cast anymore. I think that makes it a lot more versatile. So popping that right before a big boss battle gives you a sense of kind of occasion before the pull. Also, if you save it, especially in five-mans and challenge modes, popping that critical moment where everything is going to kind of hell in a handbasket, it can be a lifesaver, and it's just like kind of satisfying cooldown to use.
It's also one of the most epic spells that's out there. You're like, I'm going to summon the dead and now attack.
Kind of iconic, exactly.
I have a feeling you're going to be using that in Mythic Dungeons in the near future.
I look forward to it.
How about you, Florian? What's your favorite spell to cast in the game?
My favorite spell is the Warlock's Metamorphosis spell for Immunology Warlocks. It's not as strong as it used to be, obviously, but the demon form is just awesome. Just hitting that button and becoming this like giant, monstrous engine of destruction and tearing apart a group of mobs just feels so good.
You know, Florian, I would say after listening to the last episode, you tend to be the quieter person on the podcast. But your answers right now have won the most points with me. So well played.
No, that's very true. I constantly say, like, because me and Evan will get entrenched in our conversation and go way back and forth too much. And then I'm like, hang on, wait a minute. Let's take a moment and talk to the genius over here and have him relay upon us his wealth of knowledge. And then he'll say like four words and it's like, oh.
You are the silent Bob of this podcast.
Perhaps. So silent Bob. Yeah, he carries a lot of weight in those words. Definitely, really good points by Florian. In the past, some of these discussions, he blows us away. Certainly, blows me away, especially with a few words he'll say, and he'll definitely make the entire conversation turn on its head and do a 180. Sometimes it's pretty exciting.
Awesome. Last question I have for you three, really quick here: how often should the game be interrupted with new content? Evan, go.
Oh, new content. I feel like every time a player logs in, they're providing new content to this game just because it's so focused on community and creating a sense of, you know, society within the game. I think the players bring half the content. Blizzard brings the other half. So every time somebody logs in, new content is created. I mean, especially in role playing.
That's well
said.
But
as far as kind of content releases that I think you were probably getting at originally, it's a tough balance to say. It depends on if you're going to go at it like a machine gun or like a mortar from far away blasting off a round, and then 10 seconds later it explodes, only maybe it's 10 months later. It really just depends. I think the way Blizzard's done it in the past, Siege of Orgrimmar, perhaps a little bit of a hiccup, But overall, I mean, they've kept me engrossed in this game for 10 years on and off. And I think how they've been doing it is pretty ideal.
I would say every 4 months I should get a new large size patch. At about 3 months, I start feeling like the weight of a patch. And then I'm like, maybe it doesn't even need to be released, but every 3 months, show me that a new patch is coming out. Let me see these patch notes and let me see that new stuff is coming, because that immediately gets me more excited. Obviously, too much of content too fast. I'm not able to do it all, not able to enjoy it all. Too slow, I get really bored. So I'd say about every 3 or 4 months, and I really enjoy this prospect that they're trying to push for an expansion every year. I would be 100% on board for that.
I think it would depend on the type of content. Big things like raids with all the progression they have should probably come a little bit slower, so people have time to progress through a raid tier before the next one comes out. So I'd say maybe every 4 to 6 months, depending on the size and difficulty of the raid. But smaller patches, maybe every 2 or 3 months with quests or maybe a new dungeon here or there, I definitely wouldn't say no to that.
Well, I hope this has given people kind of a good taste of what you guys are all about, and I definitely do want them to check out the podcast. We're going to go ahead and play a clip from one of the latest episodes in just a moment here. First of all, thank you all three for being on. And Schwan, if you can tell people where, when, and how they can catch the show.
Okay, so currently the show doesn't have a live recording, but we record roughly every Sunday night at around 7 p.m. Pacific Standard Time. As soon as we're done recording, I try and get it edited and posted. It's available on Stitcher, iTunes, and YouTube. And if there's anywhere else it's supposed to be, tell me, because those are the only ones that I know of.
I actually have a question about this.
Okay.
One of the things that made it a little tricky to find your show and notice it right away, I think I discovered it, I want to say 5 weeks ago, is that you don't have a dedicated web page for the show, and most podcasts do. So, like, you guys don't have like a blog page or something dedicated to that. Is one possibly in the works, or are you just going to kind of keep things to the podcast distribution things for now?
So, funny thing. When I started getting everything built up and put together and getting all the research and stuff done, I'd even bought a little, what are they called? A little, I already had the domain, the little like server to host it or whatever.
Right.
But I am completely 100% inept at HTML. And I really didn't care for the little templates I had. And if I wanted to like go to like one of the places that have like the cool website builders, then I have to release the rights to my domain name, which made me nervous because I don't want them to own it, because since I own it. So I've just been kind of up in the air on that. We had full intentions of making a website, but it kind of went put on hold because I can't make it myself. And the tools that were available, I didn't want to use because they made me nervous.
Shameless plug, Safe Shark Hosting. okay, I'm sure Adam with Safe Shark Hosting will be happy I mentioned that. That's what I use. Anyhow, so a website will be coming in the near future. That's awesome. If you guys do plan to eventually live stream, of course, I will let people know about that. But for now, I definitely invite people to check it out. It was, the last episode was a real fun one to listen to, and I was happy with my first taste of the show, and I hope others are too. Thank you three all again for being on the show, and I'm looking forward to the next 20, 40, 60 episodes that you come out with, and hopefully it is every week without interruptions.
It's coming your way, man.
That's the goal. Thank you so much, Ro.
Yeah, interestingly enough, and since their warlord's already been defeated, I mean, I can't imagine they're going to get swept up and everything unless it's just a huge free-for-all at the very end.
Well,
but
you have a couple quests where you go in and take several of them out, and the Shattered Hand is one of the smallest clans because it's just a clan formed from the gladiators that were trapped in Heimal. So, I mean, in theory, story-wise, they could just all be wiped out now. We could just be done with them.
Yeah, interesting. The other huge piece of the puzzle that is also inspired of Eric is our good friend Rathion. And aside from the journal teaser, I don't think there's a single other reference to him being on the continent whatsoever.
Nope, we've not seen him. We haven't heard from him. Nothing. The only thing we know is that Alliance had him in custody for a while. He was in Admiral Taylor's garrison, and Admiral Terrell stepped out and Rathian essentially took over and then left creepy dead guy in charge, which killed everyone and tortured Admiral Taylor, and we haven't heard from Rathian since.
Yeah, very, very strange to me. So, yeah, I don't think that this dungeon they've just announced is giving us nearly the full picture of the cast of characters involved in it if we're just reducing it to the boss names, or there's just a precursor and there's something else that really involves those people more heavily in the future.
Rathian infuriates us beyond all belief and helps Grommash escape.
Yeah, I think he's going to try to pair up with the biggest, baddest dude in the whole continent, which might be Grommash, honestly.
Is he, though? Like, we haven't seen Grommash do anything besides taking down Manoroth in the opening cinematic. But other than that, Grommash hasn't been a problem, really, for us in terms of the storyline going through the continents and the quests and stuff like that. We saw him at the very beginning, and that was the only time that I remember seeing him.
Yeah, he's been pretty much a non-entity, and I've just been kind of wondering what's going on with him, because he's too major of a character to just set aside like that, so I really want to see what's going to happen next.
Right.
It's as far as Grommash is concerned,
it's a completely different situation they put us in Wrath of the Lich King. It's almost the opposite, where we know what the end boss is of the Wrath of the Lich King expansion. Clearly, that was never in question from the start. And then every zone, in a lot of the dungeons too, he just pops up and says, "I'm bad dude, you gotta watch out for me," and then disappears and does something kind of irritating.
Yeah, he keeps taunting you and keeps putting things in your way, whereas that hasn't happened really with Grom. He's just, I don't know where he is. I don't know what he's doing.
Right.
I mean, you finished all of your elemental tablets, right, Evan?
No, not yet.
Because I don't believe he has any involvement even in the legendary quest line during the whole Garona thing, after you get the tablets and everything.
Right.
Thanks again to Schwan, Evan, and Florian for being on the show this week. Now let's take a look at this week's Blizzard podcast news. Blood Death Knights, You Haven't Been Forgotten, the latest episode of the Knights of Ebon podcast, focuses on the tank spec for Death Knights, and you can find it by clicking on the Knights of Ebon link at frozennerds.com, which is spelled with one N and two Zs. Group Quest joined in the 6.2 speculation with talk of the changes, Timewalker dungeons, armor sets, and wibbly-wobbly timelines in the show titled An Oasis of News in the Desert of No Information, which can be found at thegroupquest.com. Contest entries for episode 200 are still open, and the pot is getting sweetened each week. Details can also be found on the site. Congratulations are in order for the Big Top of Azeroth. The Darkmoon Herald heads into its fourth year of shows with a couple of adjustments to the format, including the introduction of a new segment or two. Two episodes were posted last week, and their live recording last weekend of their most recent episode was a hit. Be sure to catch up on it all on iTunes, Stitcher, or darkmoonherald.com. Diablo 3 developer Wyatt Cheng talked about greater rifts and some changes in the work for Nephilim trial rifts on the latest West March workshop. Be sure to download episode 46 of the show, which you can catch on iTunes or at blizzpro.com. It's not too late to get started on the Sundering's year-long photo scavenger hunt, which includes monthly prizes as well. You have about a week left to enter to win April's prizes, which include an Amazon gift card and premium memberships for Curse and Ask Mr. Robot. Listen to Seraphis and Raphis talk about Plenty of Warcraft, Heroes of the Storm, and other gaming news on episode 227 of The Sundering at thesundering.net. And while you're there, be sure to click on the contest link at the top for complete details on how to participate in the scavenger hunt. What's wrong with World of Warcraft? HB and UB addressed their concerns on the latest episode of BIS Nation's 15 Minutes with HB, which is really more like 58 Minutes with HB this week. Listen to this show in the usual places or at bisnation.net. Mythic Raiders Just Wait from Method and Monkeyo from Midwinter join Golvan as they reflect on their experiences in Blackrock Foundry on episode 56 of the Monkcraft podcast. They talk about how the world first race went, their reactions to getting their kills, how monks performed, and their thoughts on the next tier. Will Just Wait reveal why the EU always has the upper hand on the race for world first? Listen to the show at monkcraftpodcast.com. Katie tells Eric what to do with 3 level 25 pet tokens, then it's all about the goodie bags and the voluminous amount of patch 6.2 news. Join them for a lively discussion about all the things on iTunes, Stitcher, Facebook, and at 30minutecooldown.com. On episode 175 of Girls Gone WoW, Raven and amazing guest co-host Marie have another round of anecdotes in Raven's quest to learn to drive, but a listener has an even more impressive tale. And wait, is there actual WoW news to talk about? Yes, indeed. The girls talk about how Warlords is going so far and their initial thoughts about the 6.2 patch notes. Druids should always wear trousers, just saying. Okay. I need to listen to this episode and find out what the heck that means. You can join me by catching this podcast at girlsgonewild.net and follow the show on Twitter at ggwshow. There's more to the WoW token than meets the eye or the ears, and special guest Dead Guy joins Root and Freckleface to talk about the token and what it means to you on episode 264 of Hearthcast. Listen to this podcast about World of Warcraft and the rest of the Blizzard universe at hearthcast.com. And finally, congrats in advance to the Lorewalkers Roundtable on their upcoming recording of episode 75. On episode 74, they talk about all of the bugs in World of Warcraft, and by that I actually mean the insectoid races that can be found throughout Azeroth. You can catch episode 75 live at the show's new recording time, which is Sunday at 2 p.m. Eastern Time at twitch.tv/lorewalkersroundtable. And that's your podcast news. I've got a few codes for pets to give away to you listeners, and you'll hear details about that after these words from Torin Think Tank.
Hey there, this is Jules.
And this is Mark Conan, and we're the hosts of Torin Think Tank. We're the podcast all about the stuff you deal with as players of WoW, interacting with people both inside and outside of the game.
We talk about the tough stuff, the funny stuff, and everything in between. And it's driven by your letters and what you want us to cover.
Here's what we were talking about in our latest show.
If you haven't talked to your wife about it, if you haven't mentioned any of this, this is a big rift between the two of you. Because if your wife doesn't know how you feel, you're weirded out because you can't go to your mom's wedding because your ex is there. But your partner is the person that you need to be telling everything to. Rejection is so mentally destructive. When someone rejects you and you gave them everything that you had, it is really, it's one of the hardest things to get over. But you have to build up your own self-worth and have to realize that it isn't, you know, it wasn't just you and it wasn't just the other person. It was the two of you together that didn't work.
You can find the latest episodes of Torin Think Tank on iTunes, Stitcher Radio, or on our website at torinthinktank.com.
We can't wait to meet you. So until next time, slash moo, everybody.
Slash moo.
I mentioned earlier in the show that Sheep Moon is reaching the end of its run. Last week, while I was listening to the podcast, Dee decided to shower the chat room with codes for pets and mounts. I personally was really happy about this because, thanks to that, I'm 2 mounts closer to getting that green Fellfire Hawk. But you know, I'm even more happy about it because I'm going to give you folks a chance to win some pet codes that I got from Dee on that show. I have codes for a Lil Ragnaros, Lil KT, and an Ultrak Brew Pup pet. And if you'd like to give one of these pets a home, all you have to do is send a tweet to @RealmPodcast with hashtag DontBreakTheSheep. Again, that's hashtag DontBreakTheSheep. Just to be clear here, you don't have to put an apostrophe in that hashtag. Now, 3 winners will be chosen randomly from those that tweet that hashtag to me by April 26th at 9 p.m. Eastern Time. The first name drawn will have first choice of the pets that are available. And as far as I know, these are codes for North American accounts. However, if you do play on an EU realm, you can still enter. If I draw your name, I'll give you the same choice and I will get you an EU code for that pet thanks to the support the show gets from people on Patreon. Thanks again for the codes, Dee, and again, good luck to everyone that enters. And that sound means your update is complete. It's time to press the play button and work on getting to rank 15 in Hearthstone on my iPhone. Yes, Blizzard's agenda to dominate as many minutes of my life as possible continues. As always, let me know what you think of the show on iTunes or Stitcher. If you'd like to help support what I'm doing here, you can go to patreon.com/realmpodcast and pledge as little as $1 a month, or you can donate to the show using the PayPal button found at realm-maintenance.com. All the money the show receives takes care of hosting costs, post-production, and future giveaways. Realm-Maintenance.com is also where to go to find the weekly podcast roundup or sign up for the RSS feed. If you're a podcaster and have news about your show or a promo to send in, or if you're a listener with questions about Blizzard games or podcasts, you can send those emails to realmpodcast@gmail.com. You can also follow the show on Twitter @RealmPodcast or follow myself @Rowow, spelled R-H-O-W-O-W. Next week's featured WoW podcast hasn't been entirely nailed down just yet, so I'm going to leave it a surprise for now. In the meantime, keep an eye on the Extended Maintenance podcast feed for episode 9, which is recording very soon. Until then, I've been Ro, you've been you, and Realm Maintenance has been completed. This podcast has been a presentation of Realm Maintenance Productions, copyright 2015, and is distributed by Signals Media. You can find this show and other great podcasts at signalsmedia.com. Certain audio portions of this podcast belong entirely to Blizzard Entertainment, and no copyright infringement is intended. Thanks again to Schwan, Evan, and Florian for being on the show this week. Thanks to everyone in the Blizzard podcast community for the retweets and for getting the word out about the show. And thanks to you for listening.
This podcast is a part of the Signals Media All-Star Network. For more information on this and other fine shows, go to signalsmedia.com. It's okay to stick our stuff in your ears.
Really?